Hey Ador, Tuesday the 24th of February, Rabbi Eli Pick, the strength of Minhag.
Many years back, when I was still at the innocent age of 18, sitting in the portals of the gates at Talmudical College, I was sitting b'chavruso with a fine young man from Manchester. His name was Noach Feingold. And he said to me, you know, I once heard that a minhag can actually go against a halacha. It can actually override it. And I said to him, what are you talking about? A minhag is just a custom. Any Tom, Dick or Harry can make up a minhag. But a din, a halacha, you can't say that. A din cannot be altered just because of a simple custom. He said, no, I'm sure I once heard this. And we discussed it, and we debated it, and we actually decided to go to a certain rabbi and ask him what he thought. And this rabbi said, no, a din, you cannot affect a din. A minhag is just a minhag. You cannot override a halacha, and that was that. So I was, of course, feeling very smug with myself, and he felt rather miffed. But as time went by, I began to discover that in certain circumstances, within certain parameters, he was right and I was wrong. Now we can ask, what does minhag actually mean? Just translate minhag as a custom, but the Gemara talks about minhag as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, which is a din d'rabbanon. Minhag aveseinu b'yodeinu, sheshomer osei minhag, Gemara in Beit Sodaf Hei. So obviously that is something which is of paramount importance and is treated as a halacha. We also find that in Hoshana Rabbah, when we take the Arava, Chazal was so particular that we take the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah that they actually changed the whole calendar structure in order to make sure that Hoshana Rabbah does not fall on a Shabbos. That means that we're even changing the date of Yom Kippur. Why? Minhag Nevi'im. Because this was the established minhag which Chazal wanted us to keep. So you can see there the strength of a minhag. Nevertheless, you get minhagim which might be called minhag shtus. The Sefer Minhag Yisrael talks about once there was a shul where the chazan was carrying the Sefer Torah to the bima, and he always stooped down before he stepped up onto the bima. And no one understood why until they discovered that in the previous shul they had, there was a low beam, so he bent down in order to avoid knocking his head on the beam, and that was how the custom developed. The minhag shtus, and the Pri Chodosh writes in Siman Tov Tzadivov that there are quite a number of minhagim which are minhagei isur. They are prohibitions. The Sveichemed writes that minhag has the same letters as Gehinnom. Oh. We have to be careful. And the Sefer Minhag Yisrael talks about a place in Algeria called Suk Aharas, where a visitor came along and discovered that they had this custom on the 8th day of Pesach to go out for a picnic. All right, very nice, but in this picnic they were eating chometz sandwiches. And he couldn't understand what was going on. Where did this custom come from? You can't eat chometz on the 8th day of Pesach in Chutz Laretz. And he discovered that many years previously, there had been some visitors from Eretz Yisrael who wanted to keep just 7 days and not 8 days, and not bother about Yom Tov Sheni, which all goes to prove that when they are in our midst, they have to keep the minhag of the place. And what these Israelis did was, they went outside Suk Aharas, they made their picnic with their chometz sandwiches, in the assumption that nobody could see them. Of course they were seen, and these people thought, oh, what a lovely custom, we're going to start having picnics with chometz sandwiches on the 8th day of Pesach. You can't have a minhag which overrides a din like that. That's a clear-cut minhag isur. I was once, some years back in the provinces, visiting a certain shul where they started davening Maariv very early on Shabbos evening, well before Nacht. All right, you could say it's after Plag HaMincha and you're not doing Melocha till Nacht. They were davening Maariv very early. So I went up to the minister of the congregation and I said to him, you know, with respect, I was just wondering, why is it that you daven Maariv so early? People might come to be Mechalel Shabbos. He said, no, that's our minhag. Yeah, I understand, that's your minhag, but, you know, if people think that we're davening Maariv early, they'll think Shabbos is already out and they'll start doing Melocha. No, that's our minhag. And when I came out of shul and it was still a few minutes before the Zaman of Nacht, there were cars drawing up outside of women coming to collect their husbands. You can't establish a thing like that and call it a minhag and say that it overrides a halacha. And in fact, the Shalosh Teshuvos Divrei Yosef writes in Simachov Zayin that if we are going to start being lenient with various minhagim, it becomes a slippery slope, and you're going to start making such a pirtza that you will be affecting the halachas completely. There's a minhag which is brought in the Shavus Yaakov in Simon Vov. He talks about there was a custom to fast for half a day on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And when it fell on a Friday, they used to stop at lunchtime, they used to daven mincha, and straight afterwards, once they were in shul, they thought, well, we can daven Kabbalah, Shabbos and Maariv at lunchtime. So he says, there's no way you can allow such a thing. This is a clear-cut minhag issur. There's no way you can suggest that the minhag is overriding halacha. If that is the case, then, where does this phrase come from? And there is such a phrase, minhag mevatel halacha. There are, in fact, two instances where this phrase is quoted. Not at all in Gemara Bavli, but twice in the Gemara Yerushalmi. The first example is in Yevamos. And there, in Salmach Vov, it talks about the din of chalitza. Chalitza has to be done with a shoe. And there, the Gemara discusses whether it can be done with a sandal, which we can appropriately translate as sandal. And there it says, yes, one can use a sandal for chalitza. Ah, if Eliyahu Novi comes along and says you can't use a sandal, ain't shomin lo, we don't listen to him. Lo bashamayim hi, the Torah is given to us down here to interpret. Lo bashamayim hi. So, what's the issue? So there it says, minag mevatel halacha. Because it's an established practice to use a sandal instead of a shoe for chalitza, it's okay. The other example we find in the Yerushalmi is in Bava Metzia Peizayin, Hasoches Apolim, when one is an employer and engaging workers, and one wants one's workers to start earlier than usual, to start before sunrise, or to work late after it gets dark. The contract between the employer and his employees is that they stick to such hours. But nevertheless, we can say to the employer, no, you can't do that. You cannot force your employees to work outside those hours, because that is not the established practice. Ah, you could say, but there was a contract. Tanai Sheva Momen, Tanai Kayom. It must be valid in Halacha. So Omar Rav Hoshea says the Gemara, Zos Omeres Minag Mevatel Es Halacha. The Minag is actually overriding the Halacha. Amazing. However, you could say to me, oh well, alright, Dine Momenus, when it comes to mandatory matters, there is such a thing as Hefka Beis Din Hefka. The Beis Din have the overriding power. So therefore, you could say that a minag is overriding halacha, because that is really what the halacha is, because you go according to the Beis Din. But what about chalitza? Chalitza is not on Dinei Momenus, according to most opinions. Chalitza is about remarriage. It's to do with Isurim. And the Rashbash writes in Simon Tov Kuf Samach Beis, he says, but Isura lo amrino minag mevatel halacha. When it comes to Isurim, you can't say that a minag is overriding a din. He says a minhag can forbid something which is mutter, but it can't allow an issur. So how do we understand this Gemara? So he says in these cases, both of the sandal with the chalitza, and also with the hasoches apolim, with the employer, it's a case of the minhag being machriya the halacha. It's the minhag which is actually deciding what the halacha is. It's not a case of really overriding the halacha. So can a minhag really override the halacha? Can a practice do away with like a din min haTorah? We know that Chazal told us not to blow shofar on Shabbos, not to shake lulav on Shabbos, but that was a gezeira, that was a takana to make sure that you don't come to do an issur of carrying on Shabbos. That's not a question of minag oke halacha. We do find that the Chasam Sofer writes in Simon Kuf Zayin in Yeredeo on the din of cholov, of milk. He says the whole idea of us drinking cholov Yisrael is not simply that it's a minag. It is like a neder. Because we take it upon ourselves, it is like a neder. And a neder min haTorah is treated very important. V'korov ba'einai neder daraisa, he says. And it's like a neder min haTorah. But there, we're talking about neder. We're not really talking about minhag. So where can we find an example where there is a very clear-cut case of a minhag which is overriding a halacha? Well, we got Purim next week, and we're going to look at a number of minhagim relating to Purim. And the first example I'm going to quote is from Masechta Sofrim. Because there, in Perek Yudalad, it talks about a custom which used to take place, that once Chodesh Adar had started, on the first Motzei Shabbos of Adar, there was a custom to read together as a tzibur, the first half of Megillas Esther up to Balai Lo Hahu. And on the second Motzei Shabbos, the Motzei Shabbos before Purim, the custom was to read from Balai Lo Hahu ad to the end of the Megillah. Dever Shalom v'chal Zara. And they were saying a bracha. So there, the Gemara, the Mishnah, in the Sechta Sofrim is saying, here we have a case of Minag Mevatel Halacha. They did the same idea with Rus and Shehashirim, so it wasn't just for Megillas Esther. Menegu Om came. And then it says, Vazesh Omru Minag Mevatel Halacha, Minag Vosikin. Because it's such an old established custom that we allow it to carry on. But if you have a custom which hasn't really got a source for it, based on Sanik Minatorah, that is a mistake. You can't do such a Minah. But here, there's a case of Sanik which was old and established. And the Perish Biurei Sofrim says that when we translate the word Minah Vosikin, we usually say it means a very old established custom. But he also gives us another meaning. He says, what's Pshat Minag Vosikin? Him Anoshim Anovim. These are humble people. Umchavavim HaMitzvos. They feel endeared towards the Mitzvos that they want to do something extra to fill this Devechus and Chavivus towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the Pshat Minag Vosikin. And that is why we allow it. A Minag is Oke HaAlocha.
Which Halocha is it?
Saying the Brocha.
Saying the Brocha, and it's not according to Takonis Chazal. It's not on Purim. So therefore, to actually have this custom of reading the Megillah before the appropriate time, the time Kitikuno, is a minag which is going against the established Takana of Chazal. We go now to another custom of Purim.
We read Purim as well.
Yeah, we read Purim as well. Yeah, the custom was to read then, but to read again on Purim. With a bracha, of course. In Hilchas Megillah, in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi, you've just heard Reb Yonke talking about the custom of banging for Homon, and the children come along to shul thinking, right, we've got to bang for Homon. They don't care about reading hearing the words of the Megillah so much, but that is the chinuch. We have to train our children what is necessary when it comes to reading the Megillah. But there is a risk that with all this banging going on, you will miss out hearing some of the words, and then you will be in conflict with a halacha. So there is seen to be some mismatch here between a custom and a halacha. Nevertheless, it was the custom to write Homon's name on some sort of tablet or wood, and the children would bang at it, based on the posuk mocha emche timche echa eseicha amolek, so you rub out Amolek's name, and hence the custom developed to bang when one hears Homon's name. Which is amazing, because you don't walk along in the street when you hear Rosh's name, you don't start stamping your feet. But this is the custom. And the Ramah writes, Negu atinokos lot sutsuras Homon, ula hakoson, the Ein Levatel Shum Minhag. So the Ramah is accepting that there is something wrong with this custom. But nevertheless, we do not annul it. Aliyah Golov, we don't laugh at it. Ki lo luchinam hukfu. It's not for no reason that Chazal fixed this custom. We always have to accept the fact that if Chazal fixed the custom, then it's something which is an old custom and established, we have to have respect for it. And the Magen Avraham there says, Ein Lashanos HaMinhag, we don't change the custom. He says, where we say a minag can override a din, even if most opinions say it is a forbidden custom. Nevertheless, if you have a source for it, only if it is a custom which is age-old, established one, which we can quote a source for. Another custom of Purim, which the Ramah discusses in Siman Tov Reish Tzadivov, is where some men want to dress up as a woman or women want to dress up as a man. What is the din? Now we have a clear-cut halacha min ha-Torah by Midbar in the 22nd chapter that a man may not dress up as a woman may not dress up as a man. Lo yibash geve simnas isha, and geve the isha kli geve, you can't have it. And he says, ain isha b'dovo. So the Ramah says, there is no prohibition here. Now, obviously, personal queries should be addressed to a reliable rabbinical authority. Because if you look in all the poskim, you'll see that the Rambam is dead against it. Rabbi Eliezer of Metz was against it. The Kalagodim is against it. The Shloah is against it. Knesset HaGdola, the Chidor, the Rosh HaShulchan, the Bach, the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah, they're all against it. They're saying it's a din min haTorah, cross-dressing is prohibited. You can't do it. And Rabbi Badi Yosef writes a tshuva about it in his Yichaved Das, in his fifth Chelek. You can't do this. It's an Issa Daraisa. It's not that the Torah says, well, there are exceptions, or it gives occasions when you are allowed to do cross-dressing. The Torah says it's forbidden, and that's it. Yeah, so the Ramah says, Ein Issa B'Dovar. It's Simchas Purim. We carry on the custom. And he quotes a source for what he says from the Mahari of Mintz, who was the greatest posek of his generation. So he's got a source for it. So we can ask though the question that in the face though of so many poskim who are against this custom of dressing up as the opposite sex on Purim, why is the Ramah so insistent of keeping up this custom? He even brings a second svar of Yesh Omrim that it's also, but then he says, the minag is k'svar rishona, we go according to the first opinion that there is no issa b'dovah, it's not forbidden. The most amazing piece of Ramah.
Dressing up is not dressing.
Alright, we can make all sorts of tainas and chakiras, but the Torah makes a din, the Torah doesn't give exceptions, Azoi states, it's not for us to tamper with it. So how can the Ramah justify what he's saying? So we'll look at a few other examples and try and get an understanding of where the Ramah is coming from. There's an interesting teshuvah in the Shivas Tzion, who was the son of the Noda Behuda, there in Simon Vov. He talks about a custom to chase out the Kohen from Shul in order that you can call up more Yisraelim. You know, you've got one Kohen in the Shul and he's getting a bit bored being called up every Monday, Thursday and Shabbos morning, and it doesn't do very well for the revenue of the synagogue when you've got one Kohen being called up the whole time, because he's not going to give huge sums of money each time. But if you can call up a few Yisraelim, especially for Rishon, oh well, it's going to increase the revenue. So he discusses there chasing the Kohen out of the Shul in order that he can call up a Yisrael. He says, you cannot do this. It's a minag isur. In fact, you are even over a daraisa, because you cannot sidestep the honor which is due to the Kohen. Nevertheless, he brings a Maharik, and he says, there is a custom on Shabbos Bereishis, when we start the new cycle of laning the Torah after Simchas Torah, he says, there is a custom to auction the first Aliyah, and if it goes to Israel, you give it to the Israel. How so? The first Aliyah has to go to the Kohen. He says, yes, but this is a case of Kovod LaTorah, where the person is wanting to be called up, and obviously he's a humble person, he's not big-headed, he's only doing it because he wants to show Kovod LaTorah. That, he said, is allowed, and besides, it's only once a year. So there you have a case of a minag, which is really overriding a halacha. And if we go through the Shulchan Aruch, we find examples where the Ramah is very forthright in these instances, where he defends a custom. In Hilchas Tzedakah and Yeredeah, in Reish Nun Tes, where it talks about giving tzedakah to one's shul, and there the Gaboim decide to put the money to a different purpose than the purpose for which it was intended. So without having to ask the donor whether they can divert these funds, they are allowed to divert it, the money, if they think it's for a purpose which they feel suitable. And there the Ramah discusses it as a custom which might appear to be something which is forbidden. But he says, if this is a fixed, established practice of the tzibur, it is allowed, where the minag can be overriding the halacha. Now some of us daven in Anglo-Saxon type synagogues or Yekish type synagogues where there is a custom on Friday night to make Kiddush in shul, where the chazan recites Kiddush over a cup of wine. And the tour is very surprised at this custom. There in Simon Reish Samach Tes, he says, I'm amazed at this custom. How can such a thing be? How can such a custom prevail? Because we learn she'ein kiddush ela b'mokum su'udah. You have to make kiddush in the place that you eat. Now in former times, where the guests used to come to the shul and they resided there, they slept there, they ate there, so the chazan would make kiddush in order to make the miyotza, and you have a kiddush b'mokum su'udah. But nowadays, people don't eat in the shul. And can you imagine, the chazan, if he sits down to his meal in the shul, he'll come home and his wife won't be very pleased, having already eaten and not having any appetite anymore. So what are we doing here by making kiddush and shul in some of our communities? What is the justification for it? Ain't kiddush ela b'makom suda. We've got here a minag which is flying in the face of the din d'rabbanan. The Rashba discusses it and says we want to give prominence to the idea of kiddush because kiddush is a kind of refuah. It gives back to your eyesight something you lost from psi or gusso. But that's something mystical. Something which is more of a plain meaning, we've got the Bach. And the Bach says that there are people in shul who don't know how to make kiddush at home. So if they go home, they won't make kiddush at all. So at least if they come to shul and they hear the chazan making kiddush, then they yotza kiddush, all right, even though it's without a suda, we carry on the minhag.
So what happens to their family?
Well, the one will have to make kiddush when one gets home in any case.
He doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, even if you have kiddush in shul and you have a suda in shul, then you can still make somebody else yotze with kiddush. So the Rama defends the minhag. The Rama, in his usual style, says, we carry on this custom, and he praises those who donate wine to the shul for this purpose of making kiddush on Friday night in shul, even though no suda is taking place. Another example where we find the Rama is staunchly defending the custom is on the subject of piyutim. The Yotzrus, the Ma'arovus, and Aruch Chaim Simon Samaches, the Shulchan Aruch himself is not happy about piyutim. He says, "Shelo lahafsik bepiyutov." We don't be mafsik and interrupt the davening with all these extra bits and pieces. Comes along the Rama and says, "Ein isu bedavar v'chein nagin la'aron," and we defend the custom. There's another interesting custom which the Shulchan Aruch decries. In Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, there in Siman Tov Resh Hei, he talks about the custom of Kaporos. And the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says, Yesh limnoa minag, one should stop doing this. Why? This is Darkei HaEmori. This is an idolatrous practice. One should not do Kaporos. Comes along the Rama and says, Noagin b'chol medinos elu, we have this minag to do it in all our countries, the ein l'shanos, and we don't change it. Because it's such an age-old custom, we carry it on. Some years back, my late father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, moved from Hendon to Golders Green, and he joined the Sadi Gerishtibel, and he was there, Erev Avoker V'Tzoroim, and came once the 24th of December, and in the evening he was waiting for the shiur to start. And no shiur was starting. So he went up to the Rav, and he said, "What's going on about the shiur?" And the Rav said, no shiur tonight. Why not? Nittel.
Nittel?
Nittel. We don't learn tonight. What do you mean? There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Torah makes the world go round. We don't learn tonight. We don't want to help the neshama of Osei or Ish. There are other reasons for this custom. It's not to go out to the Beis HaMedrash because one might get beaten up in the street. But that is a custom. Not Chasam Sofer kept this minhag up to Chatzos. The Hasidim keep this custom. Many people keep this custom. Is this a case of minag which is okay halach? So my father said to the Rav, he said, "Yeah, I understand what you're saying, that's all very well, but today's date, the 24th, 25th of December, is not really the true date, because Pope Gregory changed the calendar. So really the true date is the 6th of January." So the Rav said, "Oh yes, in that case we'll stop learning then as well." Some people have said machmir, they won't learn the whole year round. So the Chiddush Arim, the Geira Rebbe, on Friday night, he always said a Dvar Torah. On that night, on Nittel, he did not say any Dvar Torah at the Tish. And someone once came to Rav Yonason Eichshitz and said, "How can it be that you stop learning Torah on this night? Torah makes the world go round." And what did he answer? Minag Yisrael, Torah he. By keeping that minag, that is Torah. That is what makes the world go round, because we keep a minag osikin. And we find in Tefillah, there are various instances where we do something which doesn't seem quite clear-cut in the halacha. At the end of the Shema, the Chazan repeats the words, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. There's no such pasuk, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And he's repeating those words. There is a pasuk, Hashem Elokim Emes, but it's not the same thing. But nevertheless, the Beis Yosef in halacha, Simon Samach Aleph, says, Mina Kadmon Hoyot, it's a very age-old custom. And he says, Torah is refuah for the guf. The Torah is a refuah, and we have 248 words with the Shema, with Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and 248 limbs of the body. And the Zohar puts great emphasis on this practice, Kadei Lahashlim, in order that we have 248. And in most shuls, when you do have bo, and everybody sings, V'zos HaTorah Shesom HaShem Livnei B'nei Yisrael, we add the words, Al Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe, says Rav Baruch Epstein, this is only half a posuk. You can't do that. You should really complete the whole pasuk. But people don't seem to keep to what he says. And the minhag carries on that people are just saying half a pasuk with Hashem's name in it. So the Rivash writes that when it comes to the minhag vosikin, Osulava olov kagufei Torah. We must treat it as though it is Torah itself. And if we try to understand the Ramot, we can look in his Teshuvos, in Simon Yotes, and see how he deals in detail with the subject of Minog. And he says, in nitzar minog be'ez a posek, if you find a source for a custom in a posek, ein levatlo, we don't do away with it. Dafilu yesh bo tzad isur, even if there is some prohibition in it. V'chaim im ha-minog dovah siog v'gedev, sometimes it might be a precaution or protection. Yesh l'kayim ha-minog, we carry it on. We don't stop an established minog. And so we've seen, therefore, in a number of ways, how a minag might be a siog, it might be a geder, it might be something which is kavua because it's so established, it might be covered latorah, it might be to protect the din min ha-torah. He says the issue is, al titosh taras imechel. We do not want to depart from the tradition which is handed down to us, taras imechel, the Torah of your mother, we carry it on. That is the importance of minag. That explains the derech of the Ramah, who goes out of his way to try and keep up any minog, provided he's got a posek. Even when it comes to the cross-dressing on Purim, he quotes from the Ma'ari of Mintz, I have a source, he says. Even though all the other poskim say it's osur, I have a source, we carry on the custom. Al titosh taras imechem. And if we look at the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, and there in Perek Aleph, he says the importance of keeping up the traditions of what is handed down to us. And we're not just talking about Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebalpeh. He says, Kol mi she'eina osek ha'roson, anybody who does not keep according to what is taught, over below sase, is transgressing a negative commandment, shenema lo sasu min ha'dovor, ashi yagidu l'choyo min ha'smol, don't turn away from what they teach you, from to the right, to the left. Hari ome al piyat ha'ra she'erucha, according to the law which they teach you, what does that mean? He says, Elu hatakonos, v'hagazeros, v'haminhogos. He's putting there the emphasis also on the minhogim. We have to keep them up on the basis of a daraisa of al piyatar ashei arucho. Why, he says, kedei lechazek hadas, because it strengthens our Yiddishkeit, l'taken ha'olom, and it's a repair, a tikkun for the world. So when we are keeping halachas, obviously we have to keep the halachas. But there may be this attitude that we're just ticking boxes. That's what I have to do, so that's what I do. I do it. But when it comes to minhogim, there is a greater idea of chavivus and avas Hashem. Because there you're stepping beyond the line of halacha, and you're doing what you want to do in service of avodas Hashem, and that demonstrates an even greater endearment and dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the basis of the minhog. That when you are performing these minhogim, and you're doing it L'shem Shemaim, you're doing it on the basis of Al Titosh Taras Imecho, you are displaying a Devekus, an Avas Hashem, that you are then serving Hashem, Chol Levovecho, Levechol Nafshecho, Levechol Modecho.